If you take the word rest and trace it through your Bible, you will be involving yourself in what is a very profitable word study. Rest is a very important word, and of course, that is because rest is very important. Well, it's very important for the body to recharge your battery. Sometimes when you're young, you feel that you don't need rest, and then when you get to my age, you realize how much you do need it sometimes. But I think for everyone, it is very important that there is that proper rest. Doesn't matter what you're doing, you must have proper rest, or there will be a price to be paid. But as we consider the gospel and eternal matters and the greatest need of men and women, that is the need of their soul, there is an inner rest that we often think about. And this inner rest that I'm drawing your attention to tonight, men and women will spend huge fortunes and exhaust many avenues seeking after this rest. Sometimes they will involve themselves in the most abominable practices, things they never thought they would touch, in order that there might be that rest in their soul. If you think of, even in recent years, the situation with the financial markets, and compare that with what happened way back when Wall Street crashed many years ago, and there were so many people that died at their own hand because they didn't have any rest. And any contentment and rest they thought they had, it was all centered upon how well things were doing financially. That is always a mistake. Finance is important, don't get me wrong. You'll not get anything in the shop without it. Tesco's is always looking money for their bread, and there are other things, and that will continue to be the case. But there's a rest that is not found in material things. I don't know if you read any of the poets or not, but I think it was Dante, who was an Italian poet, when asked where he was going, this is what he said. He said, "Where am I going? I am seeking for that which every man seeks after, rest and peace." Didn't the Prime Minister of Great Britain the other day say that he just wanted some rest and peace? Well, he would need to find it where I'm going to point tonight. And so would many other men and women as well. Now, if you look there at the word rest in chapter 3 and verse 1, it is a word that actually means quiet. It actually is a word that describes someone that within themselves is very settled. And a person who has an inward peace. It actually describes a lack of restlessness. And restlessness is something that the sinner knows all about. Men and women without Jesus Christ cannot but know restlessness. When we lived in Dempton Village, we were just about a mile there from the cliff. Sometimes we used to go for a walk down there, and it was just a wee small country road. And one day I was going for a walk down by myself, and the ambulance went storming past, and the coastal helicopter, it had gone over as well. So it gathered there was something going on, and went down to the little shop that there is down there. If you've ever been to Bempton Cliffs, it's one of the biggest seabird nature reserves in all of England. In fact, it may be the biggest for puffins. Thousands and thousands of them come there every year, and we used to go down and watch them. But anyway, I went down to the big car park there, and there was a van sitting there, which was the negotiator's van. And the negotiators, they had been down to the cliff to talk to a man. But men and women, it was all to no avail. And I turned then when I realized what had happened, and went back to the house again, and the helicopter, it came past again, and sad to say, the ambulance also came up, and the remains of that man would have been in the ambulance. He stood in the cliffs there where the cliff there at Benton is absolutely notorious for people coming to take their own life. He stood there, and the negotiators had sought to reason with him, talk to him for long enough, and when all was said and done, he jumped. And I think we read that in the paper later on that if it wasn't him, it was someone else that had done it round there, that his wife had said that he hadn't had any rest. Restlessness. Now I know that the believer can have restlessness, but in all of our storms we have someone to lean upon. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. He said as he was leaving this earth that he would send another comforter. We have the comfort of the Holy Spirit to help us. I don't in any way underestimate or play down the reality of a Christian feeling distress. But you see, the rest that I'm talking about tonight is a rest of soul. A rest that can only be found in one place. If I read you what it says there in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 2, it's speaking here about man and that which he can find and that which he can earn and gather around himself. It says in verse 22 of Ecclesiastes 2, "For what hath man of all his labour and of the vexation of his heart, wherein he hath laboured under the sun? For all his days are sorrows, and his trivial grief. Yea, his heart taketh not rest in the night. This also is vanity." Do you see the word sorrows there? That word actually carries the meaning of being pained in your mind. And of course that brings our thoughts again to those who are in a state of restlessness. Sin is an awful thing, brethren and sisters. It's played down these days. It's not called sin, and men and women are told to treat it as their choice. But it is sin. And due to the nature of sin, it is a terrible thing which does terrible things to men and women and brings terrible thoughts to their mind. Someone wrote a wee book one time, I'm not even sure who it was and I haven't read it, but I have it in the house. It is called The Sinfulness of Sin. The Sinfulness of Sin. That word sorrow means to be pained in your mind. You see where it says there, his trivial grief. That simply means vexation. And the word rest, you have it down at the end there. Well, it shows here, his heart taketh not rest in the night, never mind the daytime. Here's a person with no rest. Here's a good description of men and women without the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, rest is often used to describe the effect of God's salvation upon the individual. And please understand what I said tonight. I have made it clear that I don't underestimate human Christian distress. But at the bottom of it all, the Christian has the Lord Jesus Christ. And that word rest is used to describe the effect of what salvation has brought to a restless person. And as we look here at Naomi's words to Ruth, what does she say? She says, "Shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee?" Do those not mirror the thoughts of the Lord Jesus towards you, sinner, in all of your restlessness? "Shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee?" The title I've given to the sermon tonight is this: Rest for the Weary Soul. Rest for the Weary Soul. I want you to know this something here, first of all, regarding this rest. You can be misinformed regarding rest. Please look, if you would, there, back at chapter 1. See what it says there in verse 9. It says, "The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and went. You may recall that at this stage in Naomi's life, she had in thought and in action gotten away from the Lord. She became a bitter and a broken woman. And I'm not being critical of her. I'm just describing the facts as they're found in the Bible. She became a very bitter and a broken woman here because she had got away from the Lord and her condition. She was mistaken here in what she was saying at this time. Her advice was, if you look at it again, the Lord, she continues to use the Lord's name. "The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them and lifted up their voice and wept. What she was saying to them was this: go to Moab. You're familiar with the story, Christian. Go to Moab and find rest there. This was not the advice that would have been coming from a woman that was in tune with the Lord, because Moab, as many of you will be aware, was a place that was cursed of God. It was without God. And yet it was the place where Naomi first suggested that young Ruth would go to seek for rest. Moab was no place to go for rest. It was the wrong place. And at that time, Ruth was misinformed regarding this rest. There's very many in 2013. And they're not much better informed. And they're not any better advised on where they will find rest, just as Ruth wasn't at this time. We see we're thinking here of the message of society. Dear friends, society will point you to the wrong resting place. Society out there, and I'm speaking to the public in general, to the world system, they will point you to the wrong place when it comes for rest. Did you ever hear it said concerning young people, oh, when you get your degree or you get your qualifications, it'll be so much better then because you will have lots of money and you'll be, as you've heard them saying, you'll be on the horse's back. As though that is the answer to everything. And whenever you've got your own job and your full-time job, you'll be able to do all the various things that will bring great contentment and great happiness to your life. Now, there's no doubt that if you are working and you have the money to do it, there are certain things you can do that bring a degree of pleasure to your life. Not necessarily wrong pleasure. But there's so much emphasis that is placed upon that which is not true rest. There was a man one time, and he was one of these steel magnates. And he was a man who, in his day, was extremely wealthy. A person came to him one time and spoke to him regarding what he had achieved and so on, and what he had and how he felt and so on. And you know what his answer was to all their questions? Millionaires seldom smile. That's what he said. Millionaires seldom smile. Now I know that when you don't have any money, you think, well, if I had £1 million, there are certain things I could do. There's some boys here and already they have pictures of Ferraris and stuff in their mind that they could buy with that £1 million. But we know what he was saying. Whenever he said, millionaires seldom smile, he was reinforcing what we're saying, that this rest is not found in anything that is material. I mentioned pleasure earlier on as well. It is sometimes a misguided conception of young people that if you have excitement and pleasure, that's what it's all about. What comes in its wake? Does there not come a time of hardship, heartache, and disappointment and disillusionment? Your last case is, your last state, as far as this goes, is worse than the first. You have even less rest. Way over where we used to live, there was, out in the countryside, there were fields that were almost, at a certain time of the year, you could see practically acres and acres, and it looked as if it was all poppies. Some really, really lovely places. I think I mentioned to you one time, I was stopped in a place one time. I got lost, and I phoned my wife home and said, I'm the most loveliest place I've ever been in my life, but don't know where it is. Didn't know how to get out of it, but I did get out of it eventually. It was absolutely lovely, and there were fields with millions and millions of poppies there. Poppies are beautiful, and they look like something that is of great substance and something that would have a look of solidity about them. But did you ever try to pick them? Next time you see a poppy in the field, you go down and try to pick a few of those poppies. Do you see how it goes? Robbie Burns, the Scottish poet, this is the way he put pleasure seeking as far as men and women seeking for rest and pleasure. He said, pleasures are as poppies spread. You seize the flower and the bloom is dead. Pleasures are as poppies spread. You seize the flower and the bloom is dead. But it doesn't seem to matter what preachers say. Men want to live as they choose how. They want to do that which come into their own mind. You think of the woman at the well in John chapter 4 when the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking to her. Very evident by her reaction to what he said to her that here was a woman. She'd been looking for rest for a long time. Do you remember he said to her there regarding the living water? He said, but whosoever drinketh of this water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Of course he was speaking about salvation. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Now you'll see there the scope of the offer. It's for whosoever. Whosoever drinketh. You'll see here the certainty of the offer. It says the water that I shall give him, he shall never thirst. It's a satisfying nature. This was something which ought to appeal to men and women, especially those who were feeling restless. And I tell you this, it appealed to her. For in verse 15 it says, the woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. You have to feel a degree of sympathy for her. She lived an awful life. She wouldn't have had the respect of very many. And now she's come and the Lord Jesus has met with her in all of her restlessness. And he has explained to her how she can have this rest. And dear unsaved person tonight, we want you to understand that the mentality that if we eat, drink and be merry, that will simply bring us to a place of rest is a falsehood if ever there was one. That kind of attitude would bring frustration, which is seen in the lives of so many today. It will bring emptiness that is seen in the very countenance of men and women today. It will bring burned out lives, wasted years, young lives that could have been lived for the good of others and indeed for the Lord. It will bring time that cannot be redeemed again. In other words, as far as you're concerned, sinner, if you continue in your sin, whatever you seek to look to bring you that inner rest, we're calling it tonight, you're not going to find it there. How many years have you wasted already? Doesn't someone sing a hymn around the gospel mission sometimes? It's called Wasted Years. Many years have you wasted? I wonder what your thoughts are as we speak of these things. The word over there in Ecclesiastes, in chapter 11. I'm sure that I've read it in this congregation before, but I'm going to do it again. It's very relevant to all of us. Here's a message to those who are of stubborn heart, those who care not to listen to God's word and to what he says. It says, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart. People love that message. If you can say, just do as you want, and don't worry, just follow your own heart. They love that message. But the verse doesn't finish there. For it says, walk in the ways of thine own heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. In other words, however snared men and women and young people may feel with sin at this time, whatever kind of grip it may have on them, there is a day of reckoning coming. And I asked you tonight, what have you heard concerning rest? Have you heard that the Lord Jesus is the only one that can give true rest? We live in an age when it seems to be that people who know better, or ought to know better, will do terrible things just to become popular. I've experienced some of that, and I'm not as young as some of you are, but I don't count myself an old man yet, but people who certainly knew better, they've done terrible things in order to find popularity. There was a very well-known tennis player one time who had won Wimbledon twice. And back in the 1970s, they had won in 1 year approximately £1 million. It's a huge amount of money. We mentioned that earlier. In the 1970s, it was worth a lot more. That person who many would thought, well, there's a person and they're on top of the world. They took 4 months off. Why did they take the months off? They were so unhappy. They were so unhappy. They had no rest and they could not even continue to play their tennis. You've heard of Judy Garland, who played in The Wizard of Oz. And if you are as old as me, you will have seen The Wizard of Oz maybe a very long time ago. But at 17 or so, she became one of the leading musical actresses that there was around at that time. I'm not sure how many times she attempted suicide. She had 4 failed marriages, and her 5th husband found her locked in her room dead. What an awful end. What happens? No rest. No rest, men and women. Don't trifle with sin. Don't minimize the power of sin. Don't trivialize the importance of having the matter dealt with properly, as the answer is found in God's word to what true rest is. If you look again in the book of Ecclesiastes, it's chapter 2. Solomon says here in chapter 2 in Ecclesiastes, the verse 10, says, "And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor." Now, please look at verse 11. "Then I looked in all the works that my hands had wrought, and in the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun." Of course, the inspired writer is not saying that it's wrong to work. It's right to work. It's wrong to be lazy. But it's right to work. But he's saying here, of all that he could achieve, as far as bringing that inner rest was concerned, he didn't find it there. And dear friend, whenever Naomi, I'm sure in the state she was in, I'm sure she meant well when she said to Ruth, "May you find peace and rest in the house of your husband, in the area that your husband comes from." Of course, we know that Ruth's first husband was dead. But she was misinforming Ruth. And any message or any thought or any plan or any program that points you to anything other than the Lord Jesus Christ is misinforming you regarding rest. But I want to say secondly tonight that true rest can be found of all of those who will seek it. Please look again in Ruth chapter 3, in the second verse. If you look there, it says, "And now is Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast." Now Naomi, with this advice, you'll see her advice here has totally changed person and continues to change. Here are words that really challenge every Christian, because there is concern here. Naomi was a Jew, and now she was concerned about Ruth, who we mentioned before was an outsider. She was an outsider. She was of Moab. And every Christian who is walking with the Lord will have a natural concern for unconceived people, even those you haven't met. Whenever we organize things like the Consider Christ campaign and the Plowing Match outreach and so on, people think you have little to do. What are you going away down there for? The vast majority of the people may be Roman Catholics. What do you want to bother yourself with them for? What thanks will you get? If you're walking with the Lord, you're not worrying about thanks. You're concerned about their soul and their well-being. You'll also see also that there was communication here. She gave Ruth a message that was focused on Boaz, for she said there, "Boaz is of our kindred." You see, he was a kinsman redeemer. She acknowledges that the rest is found in a person. If this young woman does not what she says there, "My daughter shall," in verse 1, "shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast. In other words, Boaz is the one whom you will find rest with. Of course, Boaz is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. He could meet Ruth's need, as far as she was concerned. Jesus can meet your need tonight. True rest can be found of all of those who will seek it. Over in John's Gospel, it's chapter 14 this time. I want to read a verse there. John's Gospel, chapter 14. The Lord says here, in verse 27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And when I take that verse and apply it to unconverted people, tell me tonight, unsaved, is your heart afraid? Well, if you're not saved, it ought to be, because the wrath of God abides upon you. And if, whether it's sooner or later, you die as you're now living, then the wrath of God will fall upon you. Your heart ought to be troubled and ought to be afraid. But the Lord Jesus here is speaking with that which he has given to men and women. Peace I live with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth. He draws the comparison here. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. In other words, you'll find true rest in him by seeking him. And what can we say about this rest that is found in Christ? We can say that the repentant person, the man or woman who is willing to turn from their sin, will find security and substance in the Lord. Poverty stricken you may be, as far as merit is concerned, you have nothing to offer the Lord as a payment for your sin. Didn't the Lord Jesus say, come unto me? Come unto me. That's an invitation to you. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden. Sometimes people will live in denial and say, well, I'm not labouring under the burden of sin. But then why do they drug and drink themselves stupid? You know, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. That can be yours tonight. The invitation is there. The challenge is there. Rest from the labour that comes through trying to plod on in sin. Rest from that awful load of sin that wears men down, that holds them back from that which is best in life, which haunts them and troubles them, that their heart is full of fear all of the time, and they have to do something. Hence the drugs and the other things. Rest from labour, rest from the load of sin, rest from the longing that comes through emptiness. Turn to Jesus Christ, you will find security in him. John 3:16, best known verse perhaps in the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Once you've got it, you don't lose it. Shall have everlasting life. What about not only security, but what about substance? You want to know what you're getting tonight if you turn to the Saviour. Well, there in Colossians chapter 2, it's verse 3, it says, speaking about him, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Saviour of men, it says, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Around the Lord's table this morning, for those who were here, we spoke for just a minute or two about our union with Jesus Christ and all the benefits that he has procured, which he will supply to you if you turn to him. It says here, I'll read the verse again, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I wonder, do you know him tonight? Have you found true rest? Are you interested in true rest? Are you concerned that there's no rest for your soul at this present moment? And would you like to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, you can turn tonight and find true rest in him if you will seek him tonight. I want you to notice something else here about this rest. Not only could you be misinformed, as Ruth had earlier been, concerning rest, not only can you seek true rest, find true rest if you will seek it. That's what Naomi was now saying to her. But you need to seek this rest right now. Please look at the verses again. It says there in verse 2, and now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast, behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. This was not something that was to be discussed in coming days. You see, the last stage of threshing was now taking place, and the opportunity was in hand for Ruth to go down to where this man was. In other words, the opportunity was there, but it wouldn't be there for an awful lot longer for her to go down to where Boaz was. Boaz had initially shown an interest in Ruth, and was up to Ruth now. Now, we know that she was a modest girl, and she was not pushy. She was not in any way trying to do that which was wrong, but in what was called Levirate marriage, it was her responsibility now to move. And I don't mean that disrespectfully. She was now to move, and that is what Naomi is saying to her. She said, he's down there in the winnowing floor tonight with the barley there. You need to go now. Now is your opportunity. If you want all the benefit and blessing that can come if you are in union with Boaz, then you need to go now. In other words, she's pointing out to her the great responsibility of tonight. And dear friend, 2013 is nearly gone. Didn't take long to slip by. And the unsaved person has had lots of opportunity. There's not many left in this year, just a few more dead. But we cannot guarantee anyone even a few more days. I wonder what you're going to do with tonight's opportunity. Tonight's opportunity for you to find true rest. Didn't we say that we give a title to the sermon, Rest for the Weary Soul? Are you not weary in your sin? It's very discouraging sometimes when you speak to people and they're not saved and you know. And sometimes they will even say it to you, they're weary in their sin. They're weary with it all. But they won't come to Christ. You see, sin has a deep root. And nothing will cure that sin in the heart apart from repentance. Turning from it. Being washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And if you feel that you can't repent tonight, you need to cry to God for mercy. Ask Him to grant to you repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. For there's something that I want to say to you just as we close about opportunity. Found this in a wee book a good while ago. It says about opportunity. It says, remember three things that come not back. The arrow sent upon its track. It will not swerve, it will not stay. It speeds, it flies to wound or slay. And the second thing is this, it says, the spoken word so soon forgot, by thee but it has perished not. In others' hearts it's living still, and doing work for good or ill. And the third thing, and the last opportunity, that cometh back no more to thee, in vain thou weepest, in vain dost yearn, these three shall never more return. You've heard the word tonight. You have the opportunity here tonight. And I wonder what you're going to do with it. Going to squander it? Going to brush it under the carpet as you've done on other occasions? You're going to turn to the Lord. What a good Christmas you could have if you would seek the Lord tonight. May the Lord help you to find rest for your weary soul tonight as it's found in the Lord Jesus Christ alone, the one who is His people's kinsman, redeemer. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts.